following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
So Lord, would you just this morning be at work here as we've gathered together, want to hear your word, want to grow in you. Lord, want to leave this place stronger in you than when we came. And so Lord, that comes from you. Ultimately, Lord, that is anything good that happens comes because of the power of your Spirit at work. And so we pray for your Spirit to be at work with us here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Some of you may have noticed this, but I've got a box up here, and it's a gift, it's a present. And now, here's the incredible thing about it. Did anybody see it up here and wonder what's in it? Anyone? Some of you did, yeah. Here's the incredible thing about a gift, right? There's something of value inside of that gift. That on the outside, it's wrapped. I can't see what's in the gift, but you know what? Quite frankly, I'm a little intrigued to know what's inside the gift. So much so that sometimes even I will approach that gift and I will be like, let me shake it. Let me move it around. Let me try to see if I can unwrap it a little bit and peek inside and see what's inside that present. Now, it's an empty box. Sorry. If you were intrigued at all, like maybe it was the PlayStation 5 or something like that, it's not. It's nothing. So, the point though is, you're like, oh man, I was hoping it was something. The point is this, Jesus' parables are like that gift. On the outside, it looks like, well, it's just a story, right? It's just Jesus was just telling a story. But in reality, what Jesus is doing is he's saying, let me intrigue you a little bit here. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to hear the story and wonder what the value is inside the story. I want you to approach the gift like, I wonder what's in there. I wonder what it is. I want you to want to unwrap it so you can look deeper into the story. So Jesus would oftentimes tell these parables or stories with the idea that people will then approach me and say, Jesus, tell me more. And inside the box, inside the gift, there's usually something of value. At least you hope there's something of value. Something that you wanted, that you had hoped for. We always told our kids when we went over maybe at Christmas to not say, I already have that, right? Don't say that. Don't say, I already have that. Or don't just open the box, throw it aside, and move to the next gift. At least look like you like it, right? And then always say thank you, right? We hope inside that box is what we've hoped for and what has value. And I can just tell you, inside of each one of Jesus' parables, as you would tell the story, there was always something of kingdom value. It was either a truth about who he was or a truth about the kingdom of God coming. There was always value for the person who drew near to him and began to unwrap it and look at it. We learned that, in fact, last week in the parable of the soils. That you remember this? Last week, Jesus gave the parable of the soils about the seed planter who went out planting these seeds, the word of God. And it landed in four different soils. Do you remember this? That Jesus initially told the parable and just kind of left it there, right? As almost like walked away from it and kind of observed the people. And then he went away. And then you remember what he did? For those that followed him, what did he do? Somebody help me. He explained it. In fact, if you were intrigued enough, if you wanted to hear, if you wanted to know more about Jesus and you went and followed him, you unwrapped this amazing kingdom truth, this amazing kingdom principle, right? About what kind of heart that you have. You see, Jesus would use parables and stories to draw people closer to him, deeper into who they truly are in him. In fact, it's sort of like if you're a teacher, your ideal student, maybe you were one of these, would hear the lecture that day or in the class and would later on, maybe at recess or maybe after school, come up to the teacher and say, hey, teach, right? Because that's what everybody calls teachers, right? Teach, hey, teach, hey, professor, hey, guy, hey, girl, well, whatever, right? And you would come up to them and you would say, tell me more about this principle that we talked about in class. Did anybody ever do that as a student? Were you ever that student who was like, I just want to know a little bit more? Teachers loved you, right? Teachers were like, these are my students. Am I right? Like, they were interested in what I had to say. Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying. He's saying, listen, well, here's what I want from my disciples. I want them to hear the parable, and then I want them to come, and I want to have a dialogue with them. I want to discuss it about them. I want to ingrain this truth into their lives, and I want them to live out of it. Now, as I studied this week, I was also thinking, in some ways, Jesus' life is like that unfolding, unwrapping gift. Especially as we look at the Gospel of Mark. You remember early on in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus would heal someone and be like, don't tell anyone, right? Or he would say, the demons would, when he'd cast them out, they'd say, hey, you are the Son of God, right? And he would say, shh, don't tell anyone. There's this unwrapping nature about who Jesus truly is in the Gospel of Mark. It's unfolding. And in some ways, it's like that gift. There is immense value in Jesus. And when we get to end, all will know who he truly is. But if you start in Mark chapter 1, there's this unraveling kind of idea of like, oh, that's who he is. Oh, did you see what Jesus did? We're learning as we go along who Jesus truly is. In fact, I think that's probably your story, right? There was a moment where you came to know who Jesus truly was. But it didn't stop there. You've learned over time the value of coming to Jesus, of walking with Jesus, of knowing him deeper and deeper and deeper into your lives and the truths about who he truly is. Now, if you would, if you're not there already, turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. I want to unwrap this a little bit more. What did we say this week, hon? Let me unpack it. That was like the term that pastors and preachers were using so often. Let me unpack this for you. And I thought, what better time to unpack than we've got a gift up here? Let's unwrap it, if you would. Let's unwrap the truth this morning. Mark chapter 4, verse 21. Here's what it says. And by the way, this is connected to Mark chapter 4, verse 1 through 20, the parable of the seed and the sower, right? This is now verse 21. So he says, look what he says. Also on top of this, what we just talked about, the sower and the seeds, also he said to them, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? Now, obviously, we don't put lamps where? Under beds or under baskets. And actually, many of you learned this as children, right? You learned this as a kid. If you went to Sunday school, you know this. And please help me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Everybody, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine all the time. Put it under a bushel. No! Right there, stop. You learned it, right? Put it under a bushel. No! Why would I light this light and put it under something? It doesn't make any sense. And that's Jesus's point here. He probably didn't sing that, but this is his point. It's the image of a lamp, and you're not putting the lamp under something. In fact, like many of Jesus' parables, as we unwrap them, we learn that the lamp means something more than just a lamp. In fact, it wasn't a lamp at all that Jesus was talking about. Jesus is talking about a person. Who's that person? Well, that's a good question. Thanks for asking. Look in the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. Here's what it says. For you are a lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. So when Jesus mentions the word lamp, he has more than just a light involved here in mind. Look what else it says. Psalm 119, 105. Many of you know this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look at what sometimes Jesus is called. In John 1, 4, in him was life. And the life was the, what? light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. One more. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world. And in this particular case, he is the lamp that got brought into this dark room. So when he's telling the parable, he has every intention of saying, guys, follow the thinking here, right? This lamp gets brought into a dark room. Where do we put the lamp? We don't put it on the floor. We don't put it under the bed. Where do? We put it on the lampstand so that the light would go everywhere. In fact, there's two things I would have you just notice here. Number one, purpose. And number two, position. Number one, purpose. Where it is? What is the purpose of the lamp and the light? And what is the position of the lamp and the light? The first one, I would just say the purpose of the lamp is obvious, right? Is to light the dark room. Have you ever tried to walk in a dark room before? I will just tell you, one fun game that I like to play every once in a while is if you walk into this sanctuary and all the lights are off, notice the chairs are black. It's this fun game where you try to get from one door to the other without stubbing your toe or falling over one of the chairs. It's a difficult game, especially if the chairs have been moved around, right? Why? Because it's dark and there's no light. Sometimes I will turn on my iPhone light, but because light penetrates through the darkness. It shows you what's in front of you and what's coming. Do you know that we live in a world that is filled with darkness? And a lot of people who don't have any light and don't have the light, so they stumble around like Jeff in the sanctuary, trying to get from one door to the other without any light. But there was a moment, listen, where you and I walked in darkness, where we didn't know the living God. We didn't have the light. And those were days that were confusing at times. Like, I keep doing this, and this result keeps happening. And we would scratch our heads and wonder, why does that keep happening? It's because we kept stubbing our toe on the things of life and tripping over certain things because we didn't know any better. We didn't know. In relationships, we didn't know. In integrity and character, we didn't know. And then this amazing thing happened. The light came into our lives. Jesus came into our lives and he lit the pathway. And now we could see certain things and say, I got to avoid that. I didn't know that before, but I got to avoid that. And I see this coming down the road. And what does his word say? Oh, yes. Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You direct my heart. You direct my ways. Jesus is that light that penetrates through the darkness that helps with our lostness and our brokenness, that we have such a deep need for him. And let me just tell you, if you're a believer, sometimes I feel like we take that for granted. It almost is like it just became a way of life for us. This is what we do. And we kind of forget that that was given to us when we came to know Christ. That discernment and that wisdom and the Word of God and what it teaches us. Maybe we've been living that for so long that it just kind of becomes second nature. That we kind of feel like everybody has this. But it's the reality, isn't it? Not everybody has the light in their life guiding their paths. Listen, not everyone has the Holy Spirit directing their hearts. Can we just take a moment and consider the praise that is due his name for what he's done in our lives? Yeah, I think we can clap for that. Yeah. That we should not take that for granted, that when we worship and praise his name, we're worshiping and praising the one who is the light in our lives and in fact in our world. So the first one I would say that we looked at is the purpose of the light. The second one I would say is the position of the light. The position of the light. Notice that the lamp or the light is not hid down under here on the floor underneath something. That defeats the purpose of the light coming. In fact, Jesus says, I didn't come to be put on the floor, hidden underneath the table or the bushel. No, right? Where did he say? On the lampstand, high and lifted up, elevated. Why? Because the light's rays can hit more of the room when it's high and lifted up. Notice if I lift the light high, I can hit all the way to the back of the room. If I put the light low and I cover it up so no one can see it, the rays can't reach out. Jesus says, I came to be lifted up and elevated, that my truth would be effective in penetrating through the darkness. So where does Jesus stand in your life? Is he high and lifted up? Is he elevated above all things? Is his light, is the light of Christ penetrating through the darkness? Is he able to reach every aspect of your life and shine light into it? The power of Jesus is that he will uncover the darkness. He will pull back and strip back those things in your life that we oftentimes try to keep hidden. I want the light of Jesus to shine on all areas of my life. And listen, the positioning of him in my life will matter. It just will. I will try to get away with things. I will try to hide things. And oftentimes I will put Jesus under the table so his light can't hit those things. And instead, what he would say is elevate him up, lift him up, and let the light expose any darkness in our church, in our lives, in our culture. Elevate him, lift him up high. Look at this in verse 22. The purpose of Jesus coming is to bring truth and light, to reveal himself to the world. Look at verse 22. For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. The best way to picture that would be like on Christmas morning when there's a bunch of gifts out there underneath the tree, right? And you get out there and it's exciting. You're like, ah, I can't wait to open those gifts. And it's intriguing and you want to draw near and you want to start ripping open those presents. But there's a moment in that day on Christmas where all the gifts are open, right? That what was once hidden and you were wondering, I wonder what it could be. Is it the PlayStation 5? I don't know. Is it the iPhone? I don't know. There's going to be a moment in the day where you won't wonder anymore because you've opened up all the gifts. And Jesus is saying, I didn't come to stay hidden, hiding away, not letting anybody share about who I am, keeping the light secret, keeping the light hidden, right? I didn't come for that reason. I came to be revealed so that the world would know who I truly am. It's like a good movie, right? All good movies start off with a little suspense and wonderment of wonder what's going to happen in this movie. What's going to happen to that character? I can't wait to find out. And what happens over time in that movie is it's unraveled a little bit. It would be a terrible movie if they told you who did it at the very beginning, right? There's a part of a movie that's you got to discover and you got to stay in there and you got to listen, you got to be attentive. And at the end of the movie, what happens? It's revealed, hopefully. Hopefully it's revealed. Some movies are like, come on, what? I don't even know what happened in this entire movie, right? Good movies take you along, and that's sort of what Jesus says. There's a moment when all of it is revealed. Who I am, who I truly am, is revealed. Here's the good news. You ready for it? Good news. We're living in a time when it's been revealed. We're living in a time when we can know that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. We don't have to wonder about that. It's already been unwrapped. The gift is already here. We know that he's the Son of God. We know that he's the King of Kings. We know that through faith and belief and trust in him, our sins are forgiven. Listen, that's incredible news. That when he's talking to the people at the time, they're still unwrapping. There's still this, like, he does miracles. He casts out demons. He preaches like no one's ever preached before. Who is this guy? Some people were probably like, maybe he's the Messiah. Maybe this is the guy. And then the first century church, they got to hold on to, well, he died on a cross and he rose again. Like, he was dead and now he's alive. Whew. That's huge. That's very revealing about who Jesus truly is. Today, you and I have 2,000 plus years of church history. We have the cross. We have the resurrection. We have 66 books that we call God's Word. We have Old Testament prophecies that talk about who Jesus truly is. Listen, that's light. That's revealing. It's unwrapped. Now, just honestly, there's more to come, right? The kingdom of God is at hand, but there's more to know and to understand when the Lord is revealed and when the Lord reveals it, when the Lord returns. There's more. But right now, what we have is pretty good. The gift has been unwrapped, and we know who Jesus is. In fact, some of you would say, knowing it has been life-changing. My entire life has been changed since I came to know Jesus. Now, here's the thing. It doesn't just stop there. There's other people who need to know Jesus. When the light comes, the light doesn't just say, well, Jeff, you just keep the light near and dear to you. You just hold on to the light, right? High and lift. I put the light up high and lift it up, right? Of course, not down here. Keep the light near and dear to you, Jeff. Just keep it right. No, he says, actually, this is a powerful passage. Look what he says. In Matthew 5:14, Jesus talking to his disciples, he says, listen, you are the light of the world. That this light has come, it's penetrated through the darkness. And now he says, listen, if your life has been changed and your light has been changed, then you are the light of the world. A city that is on a hill cannot be hidden. Imagine this the dark mountain range, and up on that dark mountain range, you see this little light, and it's a city that is filled with light. He says, you can't hide that city. In the midst of all the darkness, that city stands out because it's got light. Then he says, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Sounds familiar? But on a lampstand, and listen to what it does. And it gives light to all who are in the house. That light penetrates through all the darkness, so that people in that room can see, in this particular case, that people could see who Jesus truly is. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You and I have a responsibility when the light comes into our life, that now we are the light and we don't hide that light away. In fact, we share the truth about who Jesus truly is. That's the gospel. We have become lights in the darkness. Then the question would be, is that me this morning? Am I a light in the darkness? And Jeff, maybe the question you would ask is, Jeff, how do I get to be a light in the darkness? What happened in my life that I became a light to the world around me? Look at verse 23. Jesus says, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. You're like, oh, I got ears and I can hear sounds. But let me just encourage you. Jesus is talking about something else. In fact, there's a transitionary movement going on here in Jesus' thinking. Like, I'm trying to move you from a non-believer to a believer. I'm trying to move you from not following me to coming and drawing near and being intrigued by the story and the parable so that you'll want to know more about who I truly am. I was in jury duty. Everybody did jury duty before? Woo, yay. I was amazed because they had 40 of us together initially, and then they do jury selection. People are liars, right? They will do anything they can to get out of jury duty. I found this to be true. I'm like, sir, that cannot be true. The thing you just said, there is no way that's true at all. But he got out of jury duty, and I didn't, so he wins. No, I'm just kidding. Integrity and character. Integrity and character. Anyways, when I'm sitting on the jury, what I'm doing is more than listening, right? This person's life could have a change in it, right? That if I don't listen well and I don't hear the evidence from the lawyers and the witness, if I don't listen well and take into consideration the facts, I may presume judgment upon someone and his life would be changed. And so, listen, when we're in the jury, we have ears, obviously, and we can hear, but we need to do something deeper than that. We need to search for truth. And we take in the evidence and all the things that are involved. And Jesus, in some ways, is saying that here. He's saying, when you hear me teach, I want you to come with more than just ears to hear, because we can hear the sound waves hitting our eardrums. But what I want you to do is I want you to listen with intent to understand and to know. In fact, when we come and we hear the word of God taught, that's the idea, right? If we come with the correct heart, we're coming with ears to hear. to say, tell me more, Jesus. Instruct my life more, Jesus. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit does that work, right? Let's be super clear on that. That the work of the Holy Spirit is to give us those ears to hear, to receive from Him. And Jesus in this moment is saying, actually, when I say ears to hear, I'm actually talking about belief and acceptance and walking with me. That when He says, Lord, give them ears to hear, what He's saying is convert them, change them from non-believer to believer, from non-follower to follower. And in fact, it is very clear in the parable that we talked about last week. And you remember this image. Well, you don't remember the image, but you remember the four different soils that the Word of God landed upon. You remember this? There was one soil that was the path. And what happened to the seed, the Word that landed on the path, right? Came and got snipped up, picked up, right? The stony ground. You remember what happened to the stony ground? It grew for a little while. But then it didn't have the roots that would last, and it was gone. And remember what happened to the word that grew on thorny ground, right? It started to grow, and then it was, what? Choked out, right? Choked out by the world. And Jesus is saying these people did not have ears to hear. They did not receive the word. Which one did receive the word? Good soil. The heart that the seed landed on, good soil, and it began to grow. In fact, this is what 4:20 says from last week. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, accept it. And in Greek, that idea of accept it is take it upon yourself. I love that, right? Because sometimes we get this image of like, oh, I'll accept it, right? I'll accept that. But actually what it means is that you would take those words upon yourself. That you would, maybe in today's vernacular, you'd own it. That you own it. So Jesus is saying, listen, I want them to have ears to hear. And those people who have ears to hear, they own it. And listen, they bear fruit. That these people who are hearing it, and I just want you to see the clear distinction, that it's more than just the sound waves hitting my eardrums, that in fact you're owning it. Like I'm living out of this. Those are people who have ears to hear. And so Jesus then says, listen, look what he says. How then do I know if I've believed? How do I know where that seed has landed? What kind of soil is my heart in? Is the word of God choked out in my life? Did I hear the word of God and maybe for a little while I started growing roots, but then actually nothing's happened in my life since then? Here's how you will know the difference. Look at verse 24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will I be given. For whatever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Look at first and foremost. He says, take heed what you hear. Are you listening? Are you accepting it? Are you owning it? Is the Word of God a part of your life? Is the gospel a part of your life? Are you walking in Him? Here's why it matters. Look what it said here in our text. Take heed to what you hear with the same measure you what? Use. That actually, it's moving from just hearing. Oh man, this is a lot, right? Moving from just hearing, but now you want me to use my faith-filled life. You want me to use the Word of God. You want me to go out and live out gospel-centered living. Like he's saying, listen, I want you to use it. And in fact, the more you use it, the more fruit you will bear. The more you will be growing, the more seeds you plant, the more fruit you will have, right? Look at the principle there. Whatever a man sows, what? He reaps. If you sow sparingly, you what? Reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. So Jesus is saying this is a spiritual principle. How you live out your gospel-centered life, faith-filled life, Word of God-centered life will come back to you 100-fold or however many, a lot. You will bear much fruit. To whatever measure you use it, this is the measure that will be given back to you. Look at the warning. The one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. I think he's talking about the different soils, right? That they heard it, but they didn't use it, and it didn't grow, and it just kind of died and fell away. And maybe that's you here this morning. There was a moment where you heard the gospel, and you thought, oh, Jesus sounds good to me. But then you never applied any of the faith-filled part of your life. Faith never grew in your life. You never used faith. You never went to the Word of God. You never grew in the Word of God. You never grew in the things that were called by, but to be a follower and disciple of Jesus. And if you were just being honest this morning, you'd say, that whole thing has kind of faded out of my life. And to use another picture analogy, it was maybe there's a moment where I was like, oh, I want Jesus to be high and lifted up. And in reality, Jesus has just become something as a part of my life. And I've actually kind of lowered him down and put him underneath a bushel, a bush, a bed, a table, right? I've kind of hidden him away. And maybe this morning, because you want to know, what does it look like to live a fruitful, God-centered life? Then the teaching, what Jesus has said, is begin to exercise those muscles again. Blow off the dust on the Word of God and be like, maybe this morning, maybe tomorrow morning, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to start investing and planting seeds in the area of faith. I'm going to start saying, listen, God, I believe your word to be true, and whatever I use, whatever measure I use, it will be measured back to me, okay? I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to start honoring my relationship with you. I want to see what happens, quite frankly. I want to see if my life will change. And can I just tell you, your life will change. Like, it's not a mystery. It will change. You will become more like Christ. And then you might say, well, what does it mean to become more like Christ? Galatians 5:22. You will increase in love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Anybody want to increase in those areas? Then sow to those areas. Walk with the Lord. Begin to say, listen, God, I'm going to take this relationship I have with you seriously. I want more truth and more grace in my life. I want to grow in wisdom and knowledge in you, Lord. Are you sowing to that? Are you, and what do you mean, like, what do you mean by sowing? Are you spending time and thought and energy working in that area? Not unto salvation, but in growth. And I want to see exponential growth in my walk with you, Lord. I want to see more fulfillment and satisfaction, regardless of what's happening in my life around me. Lord, would you give me satisfaction in this life? Right? Regardless of the paycheck that comes in or the circumstance around me, I want to be satisfied in you, Lord. Listen, do you know this person that I'm describing? Is there somebody in your life who you would say, yeah? And if there is, I would just tell you it's because they sowed to that. They spent time in that. They planted lots of faith seeds into that. And what you're seeing is a result of the spiritual fruits growing in their life. And they're bearing much fruit. I have come, Jesus says in John 10:10, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Do you know that God wants you to have an abundant life? Again, away from all the physical things and money and monetary things, not that those are bad things, but when he talks about abundant life, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spirit-filled, spiritual fruit-filled life. That despite circumstances, you honor him. And people around says, that guy's a light on a hill, right? When we walk into that room, she seems to light the room up with who she is in the Lord. There's something different about that girl, peace and satisfaction, regardless of what's going on in the job or in the classroom. They're spirit-filled people. And so the question then becomes, where am I sowing? And whatever I sow, I'm going to reap. So let's start sowing the things of the Lord. Look at this one more time, 4:20. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those are the people who had ears to hear, who owned it, who accepted Jesus' words and started to follow him. And listen, they're bearing fruit. And look at this. some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. That in Jesus' thought processes is those people who follow after me, they're going to bear much fruit. That they are going to be kingdom-minded people. That my Father in heaven is going to use them in powerful ways. And so the question I would ask us this morning is, are we bearing fruit? Do we see the results of honoring Christ in our life? Are we sowing those seeds, and are we reaping that harvest in our life through peace and satisfaction and joy despite circumstances? The light has come into the world. The light has come. You and I get to know that for a reality and for a truth. Now he says, listen, now we elevate him high and lifted up into our lives. We say, Lord Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who hear, who have faith, and who own it will begin to plant seeds. Those seeds will reap a harvest in our families, in our workplaces, in our own lives as we honor him. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, but there will be fruit and a lot of it. Now imagine if everyone at Refuge caught the concept. If tomorrow we said, I'm going to reap what I sow, so I'm going to start sowing spiritual fruit, right? Spiritual seeds that will result in spiritual fruit. Imagine if you collected all those people together and you just said, let's just be on fire for the Lord. Let's see what God does. Let's put God to the test in this area of saying, Lord, if I honor you with my life, if I live out of your word, if I become a godly man or a godly woman, then you're going to do powerful things, and we collect those people together. Let's see what happens. Amen? You ready to do that? Let's pray. God, you're good. You're gracious to us. Lord, that there's a reality to this situation that we were all people who once walked in darkness. We didn't know up from down and left from right. Lord, that we were lost without you. And then there's this moment for many of us where you called us into your family. You called us sons and daughters. You called us representatives of the King, light bearers, truth bearers. I believe you want to do that maybe to someone this morning, maybe watching online or here in person, Lord, who has not walked with you or hasn't been walking with you, and you would call them to restore them back into the family again, or invite them for the very first time to make sense of this whole world. That there is a God who loves them deeply, loves them so much that he sent his one and only Son to die on a cross, to suffer and die on a cross, so that he may pay the price, that we could turn our sins over to him and say, Lord, would you forgive me? And I want to turn from those sins and walk with you. I want to be a fruit bearer. Lord, I want to plant many seeds of faith and trust. Lord, I want to follow after your word. And Lord, would you bear much fruit in me and through me? Lord, I pray that this morning, as we taught on this throughout all the weekend services, that you would strengthen Refuge. That you'd make this a field of many fruits, Lord, of gifts, of spiritual fruit growing on a regular basis here at Refuge. Not by our might, not by our power, but by your power, by the power of the Spirit, living, active, and working in us. God, do that mighty work here this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life